Hey guys, what's up? Thundercat.
Hey buddy.
Friday.
Hey guys.
The website is thundercatseductionlair.com. The email is thundercat@thundercatseductionlair.com. It's Friday, therefore it must be the Booty Cast. With me as always, my friends, AFC Adam, Amanda, and Cameron.
Hey Tione. Buddy, how you doing?
Doing good,
hey,
guys.
Dude.
How y'all
going?
Doing? Oh my goodness gracious me. I am beat. Hit me with the beat stick. I'm done. I'm just too tired to even think about talking to you guys right now.
You put that offer out there with a beat stick and lots of people on your blog will be lining up out down the street, man.
Yeah.
The commenters on the commentators, they'll be lining up.
I want to go up against a firing squad with the hate sticks. You know, they just need to beat me down right now. Oh my God, so much stuff going on. So much stuff going on. Do you guys care about any of the business end of the seduction world at all? You guys care about business shit?
Honestly? No.
In what sense? What do you mean, like, the business end of it?
Well, okay. I've got this new course coming out tomorrow, Pure Personality, all about how to be more funny, interesting, outgoing in women. It's actually the closest thing I've probably created to an attraction product. It's about attracting women to you based on your personality as opposed to your looks.
Uh-huh.
And it's been getting phenomenal response. All right. Everyone out there has been talking about it. The people who've gotten sneak previews have told me how good it was. All the major guys in the niche are like really impressed with it. They're so impressed that they're, you know, mailing their lists and stuff like that. But, you know, in dealing with a lot of these guys, because, you know, I go to them and I ask them, hey, would you mind checking out the course? And would you mind mailing your lists and letting people know about it? Because basically, you know, in order to release a product the right way, you just have to let as many people know about it as possible. Okay. That's the secret. That's what we did when we did the Annihilation Method with Neil. That's what we did when we did everything else. So basically, you have to go to as many people as possible and be like, hey, can you check out my course and can you recommend it to other people? And if the course is good, people will usually recommend it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, word of mouth type stuff. So I go to, you know, a lot of the guys in the dating niche, and I'm like, hey, guys, check out my course, and would you mind, you know, telling your students about it? And I'd say about 95% of the people out there are perfectly cool with it. And then there's okay. That 5% who are kind of assholes. And so I've been dealing with the 5%, like, all week, okay?
Oh,
and I am... All the assholes. I'm just exhausted.
Is Ross Jeffries going to be plugging your stuff to his list then?
No. I don't bother approaching the Dark Lord of the Sith over here. Where's my Ross Jeffries music? Oh God, it's so early in the morning. I can't even find my Ross Jeffries music. God damn it. Okay, here we go. This is our Ross Jeffries music. Yeah. No, Ross has no love for me. I've gotten two emails from Ross this month.
Wow.
The first email, it was your typical Ross Jeffries threatening type email where he says he's going to expose me to the community for one thing or another. The second email came to me yesterday, which was, you know how I, you know, we're going to talk about this.
I
a little
know
bit,
exactly what this is about, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the show. We had the Ross Jeffries devil worshipping videos up on the blog, and so he sent me an email saying like, hey Thundy, check out this other video. And it's a video of him like heckling some preacher on UCLA's campus. And I'd seen that video before, and I think I'm seeing a pattern here. I think Ross just likes to heckle religious people. He just doesn't seem to like them.
Everyone's got to have a hobby, right? You know, like some people collect stamps and, you know, some people take up the game. And, you know, Ross Jeffries obviously likes heckling religious people. You know, you can find him every Sunday morning turning up at a church, you know, picking on some poor guy. You know, one week it's Judaism, the next week it's Christianity, you know, whatever he feels like, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Ross just doesn't like God. I'm convinced. I think he's taken a stand against God, a public stand, and it's very interesting.
I love that video. Like, I'm not kidding. I got sent that video. Do you remember? And I texted you, and I was like, "Dude, somebody just sent me this video." And you're like, "If it's the Ross Jeffries with Satan one, I've already seen it." I was like, "Oh, you beat me to it!" I'm so excited. I love it. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I make. Like, I haven't met Ross Jeffries yet, and I hate hating on someone that I don't really know, you know. But I mean, the only message I ever had from Ross Jeffries was that one where we're—I think I told you about this—we're on a joint Facebook thread, and some student wrote to myself, Neil Strauss, Ross Jeffries, and all these other guys, and asked all of us the same question at once. And I replied, "Sorry, buddy, I try not to give advice on Facebook." And Ross Jeffries replied to me, "Why are you sending me messages on Facebook, or why can I read your messages? Aren't you just a history book?"
Was this music playing while you were reading the email?
It was just an attachment. Yeah, he had that as an attachment. And he was just so like, "Why are you writing on my Facebook?" You know, and I was like, "Dude, I'm replying to the other guy. It just so happens that we're in the same thread." But you know, he was really anti me over, you know, using words on his Facebook.
Actually, I have I have a new theme song for Ross Jeffries. since he hates God so much. We're just going to give him the devil music. Because whenever I opened his emails to read them recently, this was the music that was playing while I was reading them. Can you imagine, like me sitting in front of my computer? I'm like, "Oh, I got a message. Oh, I got a message from Ross Jeffries. Let's open it up. Dear Thundercat, I hate you. You're fat. You're ugly. Go away. Leave me alone.
P.S. God sucks."
Yes, P.S. God sucks.
No, I thought it was awesome. Like, but I mean, what's funnier is, like, as much as, like, we can pick on Ross Jeffries for it, I mean, why ever he decided to do that, I have no idea. Like, I love the comments on the blog where people are like, "All this does is show how great he is." I don't know. It shows something about his personality. I don't know if it shows how great he is. Like, yeah, awesome. Fair play for him to stand up and do that. Like, he has, you know, a lot more guts than I have. I wouldn't do that, but I wouldn't subject myself to that. I would rather sit by the beach and, you know, hang out with friends. My first thought isn't, "Oh, I'm going to put myself on this hardcore conservative Christian show and wind up the audience because that's going to be fun."
That's what he's always done, though. I mean, oddly enough, you know, when I was watching those videos, I actually liked Ross, okay? Like, I actually thought, like that he was being kind of, like, funny and smart and stuff like that. I mean, like, he's still a douchebag. But, like, I would have liked to have known Ross back in, like, the 80s, you know, when those videos were taken. Because he seemed like a cooler guy back then. Like, he didn't seem, like, so, like you know, crazy.
I love the comments. Say he looks like Screech.
He does look like Screech, doesn't he?
He really
does. Oh my god, I read this article the other day about the Saved by the Bell cast and where they are now. And what the fuck happened to Mr. Belding? Have you guys heard about this?
Wait, no, yes. Heard about it? We've seen him!
Adam and I were out in LA one day, and John Saporno was like, come out with me one night, take us out to karaoke. We showed up at this bar, and it's porn star karaoke with Johnny Saporno. I was like, okay, it's a first, but, you know, we're up for new ideas. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Belding is on the stage singing karaoke right in front of me. I was like, "That's Mr. Belding. Like, I used to watch you when I was
And he's
seven.
He's, like, gotten, like, all, like fat and bald and...
And if you Google like, him, all this stuff comes up about him being a pimp. I'm like, Mr. Belding is a pimp? That's what Kelly Kapowski did to him.
I think that was more Screech's influence, but it was actually an interesting article because they talked about, like, one of the guys from the new class went blind and now he's like a civil rights lawyer for the Supreme Court or something. Like this guy who used to be on Saved by the Bell, the new class. And,
wow.
And you know, the real Screech, Dustin Diamond, like he's now like a porn star slash reality TV star and all this other stuff. I mean, like it was a really interesting article about what happened to all the Saved by the Bell kids.
You know what's really funny? They always say, like, you know, your high school years are what defines you as you get older. And they're like, you know, if you were a geek at school, you'll do everything to change it when you leave. Look at Screech. He was the ultimate geek at school. Now, porn star pimp. That's how it happened.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing very well, though. I really don't. From what I can gather.
I didn't say you're good at it.
It wasn't his, I think his porn was called Saved by the Smell.
Oh hey, no!
Yeah. Hey, Cameron, if you were to ever make a porn, what would you call it?
Oh man, that's a good question.
Would you call it the Italian Stallion?
Yeah, the One's Journey. I don't know, man.
You should just call it the One. Big picture,
the One.
Your, big
yeah.
picture,
the One's
of your cock on the big picture, of your cock yeah. on the cover.
That exactly. No, that's exactly what it would be. The One.
What about you, Adam?
A picture of his penis.
What would you call? What would
they
you call?
Call it
Adam, what would you call a porn that you were
oh
in?
my gosh, my porn. I have no idea. Gosh, that's scary. The thought of me in porn.
If I made a porn, I'd call mine Tons of Fun.
Tons of Fun.
Tons of Fun with like the O and the apostrophe. Yeah, that'd be me.
You've thought about that. That's your next product. Admit it.
what if you promoted like two things at once? You made a porn to promote like other stuff. You'd be like, looks don't matter. The porn.
The art of approach for a porn movie.
The art, well, yeah, I guess that could work too. But yeah, looks don't matter for the porn. Like that's what Ron Jeremy does, right?
Pure
that's,
like, porn.
That's part of his popularity. I saw a documentary about that.
It's true. I just walk around all day and my porno music follows me in the background. People recognize me on the street. They're like, "Hey, you're Thundercat from that Tons of Fun porn thing." I'm like, "Yes,
okay,
I am."
I've just worked out the name of my porn, but I can't say it live.
Yes, you can.
I can't because my girlfriend would hit me.
Let's hear it.
Say it. Say it. Say it. God damn it.
AFC. Average fucking cunts.
That must be a British thing. You kiss your mother with that mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I told you I'd get in trouble. I'm grounded now.
That was all of our listeners after Adam revealed. They're like,
cunt seems to be a much more acceptable word in the UK than in America for some reason,
it
right?
Really is.
You call guys cunts too, which is a cooler word to call people. Because, you know, when an asshole's not strong enough, you go through cunt, which is the next level up.
No, you know how the first time I ever heard the word cunt, I was watching that movie, An Officer and a Gentleman. You guys ever see that?
No. Yeah, a long time ago.
There's like the scene where, like, you know, they have these girls who kind of go to like the Navy base and they kind of like. Like their goal is to like land an officer husband so like they can get his like, you know, pension and all this other stuff. And yeah. So this girl picks up Richard Gere's like best friend and the guy like falls in love with her and she like breaks his heart and he ends up committing suicide. And yeah. And in when Richard Gere confronts her about it, he's like, "You cunt." And mm-hmm. and like he says it so like dead serious and I was just like, "What the hell is that?" when I saw it, but like that was like the first time I think I'd ever seen it in like an actual use an actual movie.
My stepdad growing up was a truck driver, and he'd found ways to use the word that you wouldn't imagine. If you think of every single instance of where you could use the word fuck and replace it with the C word, you will understand the versatility of the word that my stepfather was capable of using. It was incredible. He would stub his toe on like a chair and he'd go, "Oh, my cunt's in toe." Incredible. Incredible usage of the word.
I know the gays have coined the term cunty. With
really?
Yeah, where they're like, he's being a bit cunty.
You know? That's quite funny.
Yeah, yeah.
As in like douchey?
No, it's in douchey, casting. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much, but it's like the bitchier version of douchey, I guess you could say.
It's true.
I want to know how Thundercat's in touch with the gay community. Like,
I live amongst the gay community out here.
You walk amongst them.
What'd you say, Cam?
You walk amongst them.
Right? I walk amongst them.
Amongst them, but not with them. There's a difference. Yeah.
Right.
This is the theme song in my neighborhood as I walk through the streets of West Hollywood.
Whenever Thundercat walks out of his front door, that music starts playing. He raised his feet, Dave, and he starts strutting stuff down the street, looking at all the boys going past.
Like, "Hi, boys! Thundercat coming through, look out!"
Thundercat, ow!
Need the music. Yeah. Yeah, so I do live I live in the second gayest zip code in the country. Did you guys know that?
It's the first, it's Miami.
No. First is Greenwich Village, New York.
No, I'm not kidding. I've never been open so much in my life than on the streets of Miami and by boys. It's scary. Like I was in a shop with Amanda with this guy holding up a bra in front of me, telling me that it was my color.
Like a sparkly bra with tassels, saying Adam needs to wear it and try it.
How do they open you? Did they use the Who Lies More opener? Like, Who Lies More, gays or straight?
Like... No, I think he went natural. He just went direct.
He went direct.
Did he have Nimbus? Did he have Woo?
I think it was missing because it didn't work. But if he had it, I would probably fall in for it.
Wow, that gay guy is pushing a lot of Nimbus, Adam. You better watch out.
I walked in the shop. He opened me with, "Oi, Minga!"
Cameron, you ever been hit on by a guy?
What's that?
Have you ever been hit on by a guy?
Yeah, I have. Like, well, it's been a while since it happened. So, you know, maybe I should come cruise your neighborhood. You know, I kind of wonder about those kind of things. You know, like if you went to a gay bar and nobody hit on you, would you be offended? I think I would be. I'm like, dude, come on.
Come on, I'm a prime specimen over here.
Not that I'm interested, but I still like, I think it's kind of like chicks go to a club and they're not interested. They still want to be hit on anyway. You feel like they're, you know, to get validated, like their looks are important. It's like, come on.
Can you imagine if the gay guy hit on every other bloke in the club apart from you?
Yeah, that would be like offensive at some level, man.
Yeah. You'd have to open him.
That's depressing. Like the gay guy's like, oh, I can do better than him. It's like you're like the fatty that you have to wait until like the bar's closing to pick up on. on all the gay guys.
That's Cameron, a niche market. Go ahead.
Cameron, you have a pretty funny story about the gay for pay thing. You remember that?
Gay for pay.
Yeah.
It's not even a funny. I don't know how funny it is. It's just a thing I was watching on TV. I was on. You guys get HBO?
I do.
Adam and Amanda.
We don't really have TV because we travel so much. So, but fill us in. If it's on iTunes, we might get it.
I don't think Gabe pays on iTunes, but you can check it, man. No, I was watching this thing on HBO. It's called The Real Sex. It's like a little documentary, and it's kind of flipping through the channels. And it had like a little porn special under this guy that had this thing called Gay for Pay, where just guys who claim to be straight are doing gay porn because he pays a lot more money. And the guy's sitting there going doing gay porn, like his girlfriend's right across the room watching this, giving him tips on how to do it properly. And this poor woman looked like she was beaten down like a dog. Like, interviewing afterwards, he's like, well, he does this because he makes a lot of money. And the guy's like, yeah, I'm not gay. I'm just doing it for money. And the director was really funny, too. The guy's like, you know, I just wanted to let you know, you look like you're enjoying it. You fuck really well on screen. The guy's like, well, I'm not gay. I'm not gay. He's like, no way. So the gay for pay wasn't so much a funny story as it is like it's a funny anecdote just to call your friends and go, hey man, you should start doing gay for pay or something. You know, you start busting.
You know what's funny though is watching Cameron describe his experience seeing gay for pay. I mean, it's like he like animates like the entire story. I mean, like it's the perfect example of storytelling. Tell you the truth, because he's sitting there, he's like, yeah, and like the guy's taking it from behind, and his girlfriend's like almost crying in the corner. And like the director's like saying like, oh wow, you did it well. And the guy's like, I'm not gay. It's like, okay, but you know you took the cock in your ass well. You know? It's like Cameron's got like all the parts like mapped out. It's amazing.
I was fucking mortified, man. It's fucking horror. It's horror show. Like the guy's fucking some dude in the ass, looking at his girlfriend, kind of winking at her or something. It's like it's just fucking scary. What the fuck does society come down to? It's kind of like what I was talking about last time, man. Fucking porn just got out of hand or something at some point. Gay for pay. Come on.
You know, I had a conversation with Formhandle one time about I don't know if you guys ever did this with your buddies, but it's always that old thing about like, you know, like how much money would it take to like have you have sex with another man, you know, that type of thing,
right?
And you know, you keep you know putting in like the conditions. It's like, okay, $1 million and you get to have your way with the Olsen twins for like, you know, an entire year. And like, you know, like you just keep like adding stuff on until like the guy finally says like, okay, if these conditions are met, yes, I would have sex with a guy. And then you just look at him and you're like, I always knew you were a faggot. You know, I always knew you were gay.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny because in some cultures, apparently, like who was telling me this? It might have been Thundercat telling me this. I don't know. I'm not sure if it was. I don't remember. But like in some cultures, if you fuck a guy in the ass, you're not really gay. It's only if you take it, you're gay. Like,
yeah, I think that's true in Brazil, and prison.
Yeah, I think so. Prison. Brazil and prison are two places that holds true.
Yeah, it's funny though. You remember Little Big Dick?
Yeah, I met that guy once at the DYD thing.
Yeah, I used to be really good friends with him until he went off to to war, and then I kind of lost touch. But he would tell me stories about when he was off in Iraq, because you know when we first invaded Iraq, he was out there, and he was telling me that there's so much like homosexuality in the Middle East because they're so afraid of women that it's just easier for them to hook up with other dudes. I was just like, I don't get that at all.
Maybe it's gay for pay. I don't know how that works.
But... I don't think they're getting paid, though.
But there are, like, a species of, like, chimps or monkeys or some kind of a species of monkeys, or I think it's apes, I think, actually. Well, like, the older apes will, like, fuck the younger apes in the ass because they humble them. They show them who's boss. Like, it's an alpha tactic.
To humble them.
It's like it's a community thing. It's like an AMOG thing. It's like, hey, yeah. come here. Turn around. There's who's boss around here.
Yeah, to beta your competition, you just fuck him in the ass.
It's true. I saw that on the Discovery Channel, so it must be true.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
This is the longest gay conversation I've ever had in a fucking one day. I think. Well, no, actually, that's not true. If Barry was here, he'd go on longer, but that's okay.
Oh, man.
Back in the Project Hollywood days, he would talk about that kind of shit all the time.
Yeah, but Barry'd make it funny. You know, I got some feedback after our last show.
Yeah,
and it was all like pretty much negative.
Yeah,
people really didn't like our last show. They said that I made you boring, Cameron. Like you're awesome on Barry's show, but like when you come on mine, like I just suck all the life out of you. And that I talk too much over you guys, and that Amanda never gets a word in edgewise, and all that stuff. So apparently, I just suck. You know, that's the consensus on the blog.
It's your show, Thundercat.
I know, and that's why I'm responsible when it sucks.
You speak. It means I keep browsing porn.
Amanda, you seem to be the most popular person on the show. Everyone wants to hear you. Amanda?
Considering I don't say much, I don't know how that's happening exactly, but I mean, that's what happens when you have
But you know it's weird because you know how often do you have to tell a girl to talk more? Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
You can hear me. Oh wow. Okay, so like 3 minutes. Yeah. I can hear you. We're good.
All right.
Isn't Miami weather lovely?
Miami's a great city, especially with internet connection.
Yeah, but you know the interesting thing is that I've never in my life had to tell a girl to talk more, ever. Until now.
I don't know what it is. I'm sorry. I'm not that girl. I don't know what it is.
Hey, didn't you two talk to the Miami Larry yesterday?
We did. Adam met up with all of them and spoke. I kind of disappeared for a while and let him do his thing.
That was third time in total speaking to the Larry, second time in 2 weeks. I've decided that I like to try and stay really close to the community, and the community in London is just too big to meet up regularly, but the Miami community is quite small. You know, like I had about 20 people turn up each time. So I'm trying to make it so that in any city that I'm actually in, I try and like actually spend some time hanging out with the Lair, because, you know, they're the guys that don't pay for boot camps. You know? So you never really get to meet them unless you just hang out. So, you know, and it's really cool to stay in touch with the community and you know, just talk about like new ideas and what have you. And honestly, the Lair here is really cool. I have never in my life seen as many beautiful women in one spot as in Miami. There are so many hot chicks just walking down the street. They open you. They're friendly. They're nice. Did I say they're hot? Because they are. So the Miami Lair guys, like, they've really got the pickings to choose from. So it'd be a good group to work with.
Yeah. Good tax incentives in Florida, too.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You said it's,
so you can some kind of special... save money and get hot chicks. It's great.
Yeah, it's the place to be, man. I love Miami so much. Like, I'm moving here for sure next year. Nothing's going to stop me apart from the V's, man.
These men get you every time.
So I heard that Gunwich is, or Gunwich thinks I'm mad at him.
Why?
Yeah. You heard that, Adam? Or
why?
Yeah, it was. I heard him say that actually.
Really?
Yeah, on Barry's show. He said he was in a. I talked to him briefly for about like 15, 20 minutes, and he was like, Thundercat's not returning my emails, and he's not returning my phone calls, so I guess he's mad at me.
You know what's funny is I was talking to Tokyo PUA yesterday, and he's the guy who, you know, he runs Fast Seduction with Form Handle. Mm. And, he's like, "Oh, are you upset with Gunwich?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "Oh, because he says he's been trying to get in touch with you and you're not returning any phone calls." I'm like, "Really?" Because like I haven't gotten a single phone call from the guy, I haven't gotten a single email from the guy. I don't know what's going on. I think that he might have like my 2002 phone and email address or something, because I haven't gotten anything from the dude. So here I am. I hear that there's drama going on out there. I don't even know about it. I don't even know about it.
Wow.
I
We
love
should
when
get
drama
Gunwitch on the
happens
show,
behind
man.
their
You know?
We should get him on the show. He's pretty funny. I like Gunwitch. I've never met him in person, but I've talked to him. He's a pretty funny guy. We should get him on the show.
Yeah, I'd like to have him on the show. I mean, like, when I have talked to him, I like the guy, and he hasn't done anything to make me upset, so I don't know why he'd think I'd be mad at him. But Gunwitch, if you're out there and you're listening to this, you're probably using the wrong contact info. Contact me through the website. It's the easiest way to get in touch with me. Thundercat at thundercatseductionlair.com. Yes. But yeah, it's always fun. I got a call from Julian Fox the other day too. And
I'm on good terms with Julian. I talk to him a lot now, actually. You talk first and let me tell you afterwards.
yeah, I mean, no, Julian's a nice guy, but like he called me up. He almost sounded like he was about to piss himself, because he was afraid that like I didn't like him because of that post I did about his video. And
Yeah.
So I was like, "Oh, well, I don't hate you, man. I didn't agree with your video." I think so many people think that like I'm a much bigger asshole than I really am. You know what I mean? So
I have to admit, I kind of got the idea of like him. Is that
No. I do like him. When I met him at the pickup summit where I met you guys, I thought he had, some really good stuff, and like he was a very nice guy, and he'd called me up a few times. I gave him some advice on like the business end of things, and I never had a problem with him. And then his video came out. I didn't agree with his video because I thought he was taking some pretty low shots at Neil and Mystery, but other than that, I didn't say that, he's a bad guy. But he called me up like fully expecting me to like I guess it took a lot of courage on his part to actually call me up and talk to me when he thought I didn't like him. But it's just it's another thing with like Gunwitch, where something happens and like people think I don't like them, and all of a sudden it's like drama, so I don't know, it's kind of interesting, I thought.
I like Julian Fox a lot. I mean, like we've got in touch over the whole talking about the video thing, because I make a point of really liking to talk to anybody that's got some kind of genuine game. And like, even if it wasn't for those videos, I've seen some other stuff from him, so I know the dude can game. And I wanted to talk to him just to be like, okay, you're another guy that I know for a fact, actually can do this, rather than all the fakes out there. And I've met them all, and I've seen all these guys that think they're good, and whatever they try and delude themselves or delude other people, like, I'm pretty confident I can spot a guy that can actually do it, and I know for a fact he can. So I just wanted to chat to him, and me and him, I reckon we talk every other day on the phone now. He's a nice guy. Seems friendly, and yeah, we've got quite a bit in common. So nice, friendly chap.
No, he's not a bad guy. I just, I think he's going about entering the scene the wrong way,
Yeah, I mean, he did it. I mean, like, he knows he did it for shock factor. He did it because he could, and because he knew it'd get people talking about him, which of course it did. And I think now he's not going to do it again. I think he sort of learned his lesson. But he's made a name for himself. So.
Yeah, but you guys remember how before I was telling you about the 5% of people out there that I was having to deal with? And
Yeah, you mentioned it.
oddly enough, part of them was the Style Life crew. Out of all the people out there. And I
Go
mean,
on, I have it.
it's no big deal. Like, I'm good friends with Neil, and Neil, when I went to Neil and I said, "Hey man, I got this thing coming out. Would Style Life like to do like whatever for it?" He was like, "Yes, talk to my affiliate guy." So I talked to his affiliate guy, this guy Gypsy, who's super cool. Really liked the guy. And Gypsy was like, "Yeah, Thundercat, like I read your blog all the time. Like you've done a lot for the company. I love this stuff. Let's do that. Let's get you on our interview series, all this other stuff." I'm like, "Oh, cool." He's like, "I just have to run it by the CEO." I'm like, "Okay, fine." So then I get this like very formal email from the guy the next day saying, "Oh, I took it to our CEO, and he says that the opportunity cost is not good enough at the time to be promoting anyone else's stuff." So they're just taking that stance for like, oh, we don't promote anybody. It's the juggler communist stands over there at Style Life. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, motherfucker. Like that company wouldn't exist if it wasn't for me. Okay? I don't know if you guys know this or not. Like you know,
like
when
I made you Style Life.
I did. Okay, like Neil would have never gotten the idea to do Style Life if it wasn't for me. Okay, I was like, I didn't come up with the idea for Style Life, but I was kind of the genesis. I was the one who kind of opened the door and showed him the way to training these other guys. Because when we were working on the Annihilation Method together, like, you know, I was really involved in, like, you know, getting that product together and getting it out the door and, like helping Neil along the way and things like that. So after Annihilation Method comes out, like, he wanted to do this kind of 30-day challenge type thing. And eventually that morphed into what Style Life is. And I've been a huge friend of Style Life because, like, number one, I think their stuff's great. I like Neil a lot. You know, my only concern with them was that they partnered up with Ross Jeffries, which I don't know why in the world they do that, but they did. But, you know, like, they put out great content. They got a great, you know, website over there. The people who work for them, you know, I've had contact with Don Diego Garcia and Gypsy so far. Each one of those guys seems super cool. You know, like, I love Neil to death. He's a good friend of mine, all this stuff. This one motherfucker who runs the company, though, is a fucking idiot, okay? I mean, he is a fucking, like, asshole, for lack of a better term. So I've met him once before, and we talked about him teaming up with Ross Jeffries. And I basically just told the guy, look, be careful. Ross has fucked over every single person he's ever done business with. And that's a fact. You know, and when I say fucked over, I don't mean necessarily steal from him, but I mean, like, they've always parted on bad terms because Ross is crazy, you know? So basically, I've talked to this guy before, and he's kind of a weird guy to begin with, but, you know, I've done nothing but help out Style Life whenever I can because of my friendship with Neil. And so, like, I went to them once before about Renegade Rapport, and they gave me the same line about how they're not set up to do affiliate stuff yet. They're not set up to recommend other people's stuff to their students, even though they had no problem giving away my Art of Approaching book to everyone who signed up when they first launched. Okay, so, you know, it's okay for them to recommend products when it's in their best interest, okay, but when it's to help out one of the good guys, you know, and a course that everyone and their brother thinks is so great that they're telling people about. Even Swingcat is telling his list about this thing because, you know, he knows it's the real deal. So yeah. Everyone is excited about this thing. Everyone's talking about it, but this one motherfucker at Style Life isn't. I get mad. It's like the Ross Jeffries music has corrupted them. You know, it's like one of those things where, like, I think Ross has taken him on as his dark apprentice. You know, like in the in the Star Wars movies.
Yeah,
he's teaching him the power of the dark side. He's like, no, you cannot promote Thundercat. Promote your Dark Lord Satan instead. I just, yeah. So I've been dealing with that, and I'm fucking pissed as hell at the Style Life guys right now, just because they're douchebags. Okay, they're douching me out. I've done nothing but, you know, try and help that company out, and then, like, when I come to them asking for you know, a little favor in return, they tell me to go fuck myself. They tell me to go in the corner and do this and videotape myself doing it and calling it tons of fun so I can sell it.
Tons of fun.
Get it? Because I'm fat. According to Barry Kirky, I'm thunder fat, apparently. So, yeah, according to Ross Jeffries and Barry Kirky, I am a fat motherfucker.
Wow.
I just love you, Thundercat.
I know. There's tons of me to love, too.
And I would love to. We could have a great snuggle sesh.
Yes. 290 pounds of love. This is me at night as I cry myself to sleep in my huge bed because I can't fit into a smaller bed. Yeah, man. Like it's funny because whenever you release a product, okay, whenever you get a new product out, it's such a big deal because you spend so much time and effort and energy trying to get it together, trying to get it out there, and you want guys to learn it because, like, you feel it's got something of value, it's got something to offer people, so you get it out there, and you try and get other people to hear about it. So, when I did Renegade Rapport, I went out to a bunch of guys in the market that I know and trust and like, and said, "Hey, would you tell your students about this?" They're like, "Yeah, no problem." I tell my students about their stuff. I mean, you know me, Adam, and
Yeah,
Cameron.
no,
Like, I
100%.
have no problem telling people when they come to me asking me, like, "Hey, I don't know where to start in this thing. Can you guide me?" I'm like, "Take a workshop from AFC Adam. Go check out, Cameron's book. Go check out Love Systems and like all this other stuff." I have no problem recommending other people's stuff to students. If it has
Yeah.
value to it, and I think it can help someone, I will tell them to go see it. I'm not one of these guys. A lot of people follow the David D'Angelo model because they're like, "Oh, David D'Angelo doesn't promote anyone's stuff, so why should I? I'm going to be like David D'Angelo, even though I make like a fraction of like what he makes in an hour. I'm going to be just like him." Okay. The thing people don't understand is that David D'Angelo promotes people's stuff every single month. He does it through that freaking interview series of his. Okay. He promotes people's stuff constantly. So this idea that like, "Oh, I never promote anyone else's stuff but mine," it's selfish. It's selfish for their students, and it's selfish for them because they're cutting themselves off. So I'm not promoting any of StyleLife's stuff. I mean, like, I'm not gonna say anything bad about them because I like their stuff. But like, if they come to me and they're like, "Hey, can you put this on your blog?" I'm gonna say, "No, fuck you. Why should I?" And that might sound like an asshole thing to do, but they're being an asshole to me. So why should I help them out?
Fair play, man. It's one of those things. Like, I've got a whole thing about loyalty and friendships and stuff. Like any of my friends will tell you, there's no way in the world that I would do anything that would go against them or that wouldn't help them, and I bend over backwards to help them out. But the second somebody burns me, like, they're cut out straight away. I'm just not interested anymore.
Yeah,
It's just
I mean, this isn't anything against Neil. I still love Neil to death. We're still good friends. He's not involved in the day-to-day operations. It's the CEO motherfucker guy, who apparently likes to quote opportunity cost as opposed to like, "Hey, this guy's been cool to us since the beginning. Our company wouldn't exist if it wasn't for him. So hey, let's help the guy out." But no, it's all about I do believe that we shouldn't have any promotion for other people because we are douchebags. So, yeah. So I've been dealing with that guy. There's this other motherfucker out there. I don't want to call. I don't want to, call him by name. But he's been really difficult too. And he's a fairly big guy in the thing. Adam, I've told you about him in private.
That's not fun if you don't tell us who he is.
Yeah, you have to
No,
douche
no, no,
now.
no, 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 no. The only thing that he's doing that's pissing me off is that I did a promotion for him a while back, okay? Because he came out with a course which I thought was genuinely good, okay?
Oh, I know exactly what you
I
mean.
thought
I know
it was
you
a
don't.
genuinely good course, okay? And I told my students about it. I was like, "Hey guys, this guy's got a great course. Go check it out. It can really help you with this aspect of pickup." And so I send him something like, 1,000 people from my list to like go check out his stuff. He doesn't make a single sale. All right, not a single one. So, it's no big deal because I don't mind like if I don't make any money. I'm telling people about a great resource. If they want to buy it, they can. Okay? But he's pissed at me because I didn't make any sales, even though I sent him all this traffic. Now, it's not my fault that the people didn't buy, because I did another promotion for another guy a few days later, and I was that guy's top referrer. My students loved his stuff. Okay? So the fact that they didn't buy wasn't a reflection on me. It was a reflection on him and his marketing stuff. But he's telling me that his marketing people are saying that I didn't send out the right promotional material, whatever the hell that means. I'm like, I gave you a personal review of the course to my students. I told them what I personally thought. What else am I going to do?
Mate, you know what? I straight up, I don't understand the marketing stuff. Like, there's no secret there. I completely suck at it. I'm just in it because I like the subject. But it's a tough one because, like, I know that guy, and I think he's a great guy, the guy you're talking about. So
He's not a
I don't get
bad
on
he's
stuff.
not a bad guy, but he's kind of a douche when it comes to business stuff, because I'm not really sure he understands. And you get this a lot in this market where you have guys who are like totally cool but totally hopeless when it comes to the business stuff. Like Zan, for instance. I love Zan to death. Okay, I have nothing bad to say about Zan at all. He's a great guy.
Really,
you know, you can't meet Zan and be like, you know, there's anything wrong with that guy. Okay, he is the most put together guy I've ever met in my life. But when it comes to business stuff, he is flakier than a motherfucker. So like you can't do business with Zan.
Yeah.
Now Cam, I know you just met Zan in Germany, and Zan's very, very good about showing up to, you know, events and things like that. But when you actually try and do stuff like, you know, internet based stuff with him, he's just always been flaky as hell. Every time I talk to him, I feel like, you know, I'm taking up too much of his time because he's got more important stuff to do and more chicks to bang. You know, because Zan, he's always got like 50 women in the wings waiting to hop into the sack with him.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, there's a big disconnect between the business end of things and the, you know, actual seduction game end of things. I find that there's two types of people. There's the guys who are really good at, you know, the seduction end of things but suck at business. And then there are guys who are really good at business but suck at game. And there's very few, like people who fall into both categories. You know? I mean, Adam, weren't you telling me about some guy who was, like, he's trying to do some $10,000 workshop type thing?
This guy, I mean, he's a great guy. He's really good at game, and he seems to know what he's doing with business as far as I'm concerned, but I don't know anything. And he's doing this whole program where he's charging $10,000 a head and turning them into instructors and teaching them how to set up their own business so they can then charge people money to do boot camps or something like that. Sometimes
this is in Europe?
Yeah, it's going to be in Europe, and it's going to spread fast. But apparently he's already made, like, you know, a good couple of $100,000 in sales.
But it was kind of a weird thing, right? Because, like, didn't you have to, like, pay down, like, $500 first and you didn't get anything for that? Then you had to pay, like, $10,000?
Yeah, and then after, did you pay the rest just before you go on the course? Yeah, you get, like, 6 months to pay the $10,000 or something.
Oh, wow.
But at the end of it, you get your own website and all your accountancy and everything set up in place.
That's right, because he's selling it as, like, a business opportunity. Like, he's going to people and being like, pay me $10,000 and I'll show you how to start your own seduction business.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And actually, this is my new pet peeve, right? This is my new pet peeve. Everybody in the community is becoming instructors. Everybody, like in London especially, like it seems like everyone's like contacting their dad and their brother, and they're like, you know, encouraging them, hey, come on, let's teach game. And as soon as they get some kind of result, and they can, you know, maybe get day game number closes, they start setting up game businesses. There's hundreds and thousands of them, like people teaching game. It's incredible. More and more and more and more. And I don't get where they come from, because I know half these people, and I know that a lot of them can't do it.
Yeah. And even if they can teach game, like they don't know jack about, you know, the business end of things.
Well, I mean, yeah, even if they do, see, for me, I don't care what they know about the business side of it. If they're going to teach, they should be able to do it themselves, you know? And like, this is what me and Julian Fox were talking about. Like, on my hard drive, on my computer, I have video footage, a lot of it, that I haven't put anywhere near the community, and I won't, because if you put it all together, it would be the porn movie you were talking about earlier. It's, you know, it's pretty, you know, exposing stuff of little AFC Adam action. and like as far as I'm concerned, like, I don't show it off, but I mean, I showed like a video at the World Summit this year, the PUA Summit, and like the audience like, oh, no shit, AFC Adam really can do this. You know, like I've got no doubt in my mind, and I've got the evidence to back it up if I can be bothered to show people that I really can do it. But I know a lot of these people can't do it. I know PUA instructors that are rated as some of the best in the world who have slept with less than 11 women in their life. Like, and yet here they are out there teaching because they've got a bit of business sense, or it pains me. And there's so many of them just coming up out of the woodwork. It's ridiculous. Like, I don't care, you know, people can hate me, or, you know, they can hate on other PUAs, but like, you know, like Julian Fox is like another prime example. People can hate on him for the video, but the dude can do it. You know, give the man props. The guy can get laid. He can pull chicks. He's good at it. And if you want to sit down and listen, you know,
you know what though, like the Julian Fox video never communicated that. Like he walked up to that girl at the end that showed him leaving the club or whatever. But it showed that what Mystery and Neil couldn't do, but never showed what he really could do. And you know, like actually when I first met Julian, like his game is very similar to yours. Adam, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Adam,
Yeah.
in my opinion,
Look,
like,
like yeah, I'm here, buddy. Can you hear me?
yeah. Go ahead, Adam. Uh-oh. Cameron, we might have lost Adam.
And he's having technical difficulties
Okay.
at the
Yeah, like
moment.
as far as
There he
I'm
is.
concerned, like Julian Fox, we do have a similar kind of game, and you're right, the video doesn't show how good he is.
No, it
But
doesn't.
what it does do is it does give some kind of indication that he's willing to to get himself out there. And if you actually bother yourself, you can see that he can do it, you know?
Yeah. Well, all this stuff aside, like I've just been really frustrated with the business end of the community this past week, because I've just been working my ass off. My huge fat ass has been being worked to the bone, trying to deal with all these so-called business guys in this market.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, like what the fuck, and it sucks because like I really think that this is one of my most important courses. Adam, you're a part of it. Cameron, I don't know like how much you know about it, but like I've spent the last 2 months like putting out videos and audio and all this the stuff trying to educate people about what it is I'm teaching. And it's basically about how to be attractive. It's how to have the type of personality that's going to attract women to you, as opposed to your looks. Because a lot of guys, like
Yeah.
if they're too short or too fat or too bald or too old or whatever, they start getting insecure and they start taking themselves out of the game because they just don't think women are going to find them attractive. And then you also have guys who, like, there's perfectly nothing wrong with their looks. They're just too shy or too introverted to actually talk to a girl. So,
Yeah.
it makes sense that when you're able to cultivate your personality to a certain point and start attracting women to you, that your game's just going to explode. I mean, that's what happened with me. I'm not the best looking guy in the world, but I'm able to be engaging enough to get women interested in me. And I think that that's an important skill to learn.
Dude,
There's a.
I mean, I've said. Oh, sorry, Cameron. Go on.
Go ahead.
I
Tell
said.
your
I've
personality
said
here.
this. Yeah, I've said this before about Thundercat, right? Like, and I love how people hate on you and talk about your game or whatever. But like, the simple fact remains. My number one like gauge of whether somebody's good with women or not is what Amanda thinks about them. Like, I trust her opinion and I respect her opinion more than a lot of other people on the planet. And when she met every single PUA. At the PUA summit, there were only two people that when we walked out of the three people, that when we walked out of the room, Amanda was like, they're really good guys, and I can see how women would like them. One of them's David Wigan, the other one was Johnny Wolf, and the last one was you.
You're putting me in with
That's
Johnny
what she
Wolf?
said.
He's a good guy.
Hell yeah, this is a motorboat
Yeah, Johnny Wolf is a
son of a bitch
good
I've never done any, doubles threesomes with him or anything.
guy. I tell you what, I love Johnny. Like, I mean, this is a big shout out to you, Jay Wolf, because I love you lots. I had a really bad time. Basically, a guy in the community stole everything that was mine and released it through his company. Literally word for word
Who
for
was
word.
it?
And I'm not going to douche this guy out because I'm not that kind of guy. But he was a very, very good friend of mine. Like, I trusted him a lot. And he came out, stole all of my stuff and claimed that it was his own. And then released a product based on it. And it was kind of cold the way he did it. And I was really angry. And I've got a really violent temper. Like, I don't know what the rest of the people are like, but in England, like, we've got a thing about starting fights. And to be honest, if you push me the wrong way, I really don't care about anything else. I'm just going to fuck you up. Like, I don't care how big you are. You better put me out because whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. And I was really angry. I'd lost it. I'd lost my temper. And I was just going down. And then Johnny Wolf just drives. He hears about it. Amanda tells him, and he turns up where I'm standing in the street. Actually, I was being a complete douchebag. I was starting a fight with some guy in the street, and Johnny Wolf turns up, and in his hands he's got two tubs of ice cream, both my favorite flavors. And he just looks at me with a big smile, holding out these two tubs of ice cream. And that's the kind of guy he is. He's a really good friend, and and that's the same. Thundercat in so many other ways. The amount of times that I'll come over to LA and you're just like, hey man, come over, let's hang out, and you sit down and help me out with my work or whatever. Like, good friends, good people. That's rare, really rare, especially in the community, man. So
Speaking of
personality.
Speaking of people who steal other people's stuff, what do you guys think of the news that Tyler's stepping down as figurehead of RSD?
I'm so unconcerned about it. Like, I don't even care. I heard about that. Just a bunch of bullshit. I'm like, so I see it. I don't know. It's like the less I think about people like Tyler and some of these other guys, the happier I am. I think it goes for a lot of guys I know, actually.
Dude, Steven, Playboy LA, got on Barry's show yesterday and apparently ripped Tyler a new one.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah.
Really? Yeah, yeah. Like, he just, you know, it's funny because for like a long time I was like the only one very publicly speaking out against Tyler. I've gotten a lot of shit for it too. And Tyler used to be able to kind of put it off by saying like, oh, that's just Thundercat. He's just this like, you know, insecure, like screech, like, you know, like loser. Don't pay any attention to him. But now, like, you've got Barry, who was in the inner circle revealing stuff. Now you got Steven revealing stuff. And Steven never used to publicly say anything bad about Tyler. But after yesterday's interview, it's just like, holy fuck, man.
Yeah, Barry does that, though. When people go on Barry's show, they start revealing their true feelings on a lot of issues. Like, they don't hide back. Because Barry's just so out there, he doesn't hide back, right? No. I think you guys have the wrong idea about the word douching out. I think douching out means when you kind of like, I guess you have to define it, but I think it means like when you screw somebody over or something. Or when you say somebody's an asshole, and they really are assholes. I don't just mean Tyler. I mean a whole lot of people out there. I don't think it's douching somebody out. That's just telling like it is. That's the way I see it anyway. It's like it's only douching out when the guy's not an asshole. You talk shit about him. But the guy really is an asshole. It's no longer douching out. It's just speaking the truth.
Telling the truth. And he's using his stepping down from RSC's figurehead as a reason to like hold some insanely expensive boot camp.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Yeah, like
you have to get one last hurrah back in there. I mean, he still sees RSC for all it's worth to get his last bit of money before he runs away.
Wait, is that the boot camp in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Oh, one of my friends is going to it.
Really? I think Tyler's going to be like the band Kiss. He'll like retire 25 times in 25 years in a row. Once a year, he'll be like, this is the last time, guys. I'm stepping down finally. And he'll do one more fucking tour.
Yeah, although like after my blog post, he came out and said like, "I'm not leaving the company. I'm just stepping down as the figurehead," whatever the hell that means. I guess his picture is not going to be on the website anymore or something. But I find this whole thing kind of weird. Like it almost smells like a stunt. But then again, like I know Tyler like kind of has always wanted to become like a Tony Robbins type self-help guru type guy. So it makes sense that he'd be moving more into that arena. But I honestly can't see him leaving RSD. I mean, that's always been his baby.
The RSD teach women, Carl?
What's that?
The RSD teach women at all?
They teach women? Not that I know of.
Yeah. Okay. Like,
yeah,
I'm just thinking from...
Yeah, they do teach them. They teach them to run away.
No, okay, so like, I'm just thinking from a PR perspective. If he was ever going to try and break in and double the market and go for girls, he would want to step down from what he's doing there as the figurehead so he wouldn't be publicly seen as an artist so he could move into helping women. I would see that as a logical move. I don't know if that's what he's doing, but if I'm being strategic, I'd say that's what he's doing.
He wants to be some kind of a life coach. Who knows, man? I have no idea. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get your life together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, man. Dude, man. What are you doing? Dude, get your life together. There's clearly a group of people out there who should not be life coaches. Actually, I don't even believe in life coaches. I mean, I think life coaches would. I mean, forget about it. It's a pain in the ass. The whole industry is weird. Life coaches.
Karen, I love your forget about it. By the way, I don't know if I've told you this. I love it when you do that. It's so like movie hero, like bad boy kind of. I love it.
I just like. It's like
I want to.
I'm glad you like it, man. I just, why even get into it? You know.
Forget about it.
That's like, why do you even get into it? But yeah, it's like the whole life coach thing is kind of a joke these days.
Tyler's a joke these days. I mean, you know, it's so funny because like he just takes all of his material from better people and kind of puts his own little like Tyler spaz out on it, and people are like, "Oh, it's brilliant," you know, like he's reading all these philosophy books and freaking. All these other people's stuff. I heard who was it that was telling me the other day that the only reason RSD went natural, like they started moving towards natural game as opposed to direct game, was because they saw that Bad Boy was making more and more headway into the market, and they were afraid that Bad Boy was going to overtake them.
Yeah, so it was a marketing move, yeah.
Yeah, so they just co-opted Bad Boy's style, which is like direct natural type stuff, and in order to keep him from becoming too popular. Like, they didn't believe in it, they didn't practice it, they didn't do anything like that. They just saw the trend, and they jumped on it.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much that's just the way it's always been with those guys. They're like, you know, and there's a couple of guys in the company that I like a lot. Like, you know, I like JLax a lot. Jeffy, I think, is a good guy. I haven't talked to him in a while, but, you know, he's a good dude. But the figureheads, or the guys who run the company, which is Nick and Owen, Tyler and Papa, whatever you want to call them, they're a little bit on the shadier side, yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, that's just my issue with those guys. But the rest of the guys are pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's but just... but you know what? Like those guys, Nick and Owen, they take all the cool guys that work for them and make them think that, like, you know, they can't talk to anyone outside of the company.
That's true, yeah. You know, I've it's kind of funny because when JLax, I used to, like, love hanging out with JLax all the time when he came from San Francisco. We used
JLax was a cool guy.
Yeah, we talk about 80s music and just fucking joke around and go A-Mog hunting and all this stuff and freaking on Sunset Boulevard. And, you know, once he joined RSD, I got in touch with him less and less because I think somehow there's some kind of protocol in that company that's like, you know, it's like if you work for the company, you can't be outside these guys who criticize us. Yeah, man. These guys want to hate us.
They don't do the energy at us.
They want to suck value from us, man. You got to avoid those guys. They're negative. I was like, yeah, dude, fucking give it a break. They don't like you, Owen, personally. They don't listen to me. They don't like JLax or this guy or that guy.
Yeah, and you know, like, they don't do any interviews. They do the same thing with their students where they try and keep their students from... I mean, it's the old Ross Jeffries tactic. You try and insulate people from outside influences so you can exert more control over them. The old speed seduction list was the exact same way, you know. People, like, he used to tell people, stay off fast seduction, stay off, you know, like don't pay any attention to mystery or, like, all these other guys because they're losers and they're all fakes. You know, like just stay with stay the course with the holy speed seduction grail. You know,
yeah.
Little did everyone know that that Ross Jeffries was in fact a devil worshipper at the time. But
you know, in all fairness, I think JLax is a smart dude. I like JLax a lot. And I haven't talked again. I had a quick chat with him a while back on the internet, but I haven't talked to him, like, in person for probably at least a year. But he's a smart dude, and he gets it. And there's no way that he cannot know that he's working for, like, soulless sociopaths. I'm sure he knows that, but he's sort of stuck with it. This is his job. It's like if you work for freaking McDonald's and you don't like the company, but it's your job and you make a lot of money at it. I don't know if you own a McDonald's or something, whatever. It's just like, I think that's the position he's stuck in. Is that he works with these guys, but, you know, it's his paycheck, it's his living. At the same time, but what is he going to do? Come in, say they're assholes? He's kind of stuck in that position.
You know what gets me about JLax is, you know, I've always liked the guy. I met him once. He seemed like a cool dude. I really knew him from the lounge, where he would post a lot, and I always loved his post. Never had anything, you know, against the guy. And as soon as he joins up with RSD and I come out against the company, like he becomes my enemy. You know, like he's the one who attacked me and, like, got me kicked off the lounge or whatever it was. And, like, I never did anything against the guy, at least not to my knowledge. So
pissed off. I remember that episode. He was pissed off because of the fact that he felt like you were trying to cost him his paycheck or his living. He's like, man, I'm trying to make a living doing workshops, and this guy's just coming out there and pulling the stuff out there, and he's costing me. He's like, he's taking food out of my children's mouth, man. That's what he said.
Like, it wasn't me. I wasn't the one doing the shit, though. It was like the RSD's company policies were fucking people over. So it was like, you know, I'm not the one fucking shit up for you. It's your own company that's doing the dirt. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons I never liked RSD. I don't know if they've changed now because they're so insular and they shun outsiders and stuff like that. But, like, it used to be, like, you know, like, they try really hard to, like, screw people out of refunds and, like, all this other stuff. I mean, it's just a shady kind of mentality over there.
Really, yeah, was. It's you know what, that's sort of, I don't know if it was, I was gone by that time. I knew what was going on during the Project Hollywood days, and after that I just sort of lost touch with some of the guys. But and the guys I liked left anyway, like, guys, you know, a lot of the guys I was close with, like, you know, Barry and Steven Nash and Mike, I knew a little bit, so, and Dreamweaver, it's just because I all left the company anyway, so they got a whole new crop of people. And yeah, you know what, I don't know, it's just weird. But I think JLax is credit, I think he's probably disgusted with the scene, as a lot of us have been, as far as, you know, just the whole dealing with all this shenanigans and all that stuff. So I think he wants to avoid the whole thing, and I don't really blame him for that, you know?
Yeah. All right, let's switch gears a little bit here because, as you all know, my Pure Personality course is coming out tomorrow. Right?
Yes.
This is a big deal for me. It's taken me about a year and a half to get this thing together. Adam, you're involved in the course. Cameron, I wish I'd gotten you involved in the course because you're, of course, a funny guy. Maybe we can do some type of teleconference later on in the series so you can kind of share some of your fantastic techniques too. But one of the biggest problems I always had is Cameron, I go out with Swing Cat a lot, and these friends of ours who are much better looking guys, like they got some game and stuff like that.
Yeah, Swing
And
Cat's pretty good. I like Swing Cat.
yeah, Swing Cat has some mad game. So when I go out with these guys, I'd always get overshadowed because my game is slightly different from the kind of like high energy, like routine based stuff. Because I can approach women okay, but I'm not like a super like high energy guy by nature. Like I'm kind of like laid back, and I don't like to exert myself. One of the reasons why I'm such a like a fat guy. but so anyway, like I go out there, and I'm trying like really really hard to go to the clubs with my friends and actually have like some good interactions with women, and it's hard because they're better looking than me. They're able to get attention easier in environments like that and stuff like that. So I really wanted to develop this personality method because it was the only thing I had available to me that could even the playing field. And over time, I kind of started developing this method. And Adam, you had a huge influence on this course in the sense that, like, after I met you, a lot of things started to click, especially like your social proof type stuff. Now, you used to do this thing called Project Entourage, right? Adam? Adam, you there?
Hardcore. Can you hear me, mate?
You're just kind of there, a lot of lag, a lot of lag
Yeah,
this
I'm here,
morning.
buddy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Adam, can you hear me?
Yeah, I've got you. Actually, I've noticed in the lag.
Yeah. So Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about the whole Project Entourage stuff? Because this is really interesting. Because Project Entourage seemed to me to be all about personality. It seemed to be about being these type of like fun party guys who girls just wanted to be around.
Yeah, okay. Project Entourage started back in the day when I was going to nightclubs, and I would never go to a nightclub with less than four, five, six girls with me, because that's the easiest way to get into a club. And what happened was the club started noticing that I was bringing these women. So one day the nightclub owner phones me up. He goes, "Hey Adam, what time are you arriving tonight?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm not coming tonight, buddy. I'm having a night off." And he says, "No, you can't." And I'm thinking, you can't tell me no. You can't say, no, you're not allowed to come to the club. But, sure enough, he's trying to tell me that. And I was like, well, no, I'm allowed a night off. I don't want to come out. And he's like, I'll make it worth your while. Now, back in the day, this is before I was teaching, I really didn't have much money. So, getting paid to bring some chicks to a club sounded like a good idea. So I'd invite these friends out. And then I got talking to Sheriff from Mission Method at the time. And we sat down and we hammered out some kind of business plan where we could actually make a lot more money by bringing a lot more girls. We brought on another guy to help out, Mr. M, who at the time wasn't working with anybody. And the three of us started bringing girls to nightclubs. What happened was we all took over a different aspect. And the way it would work was we would have to be cool, fun people. And rather than approaching girls and trying to hook up with them, we'd be like, hey, come on, come and hang out with us at a party. Now, this is nothing like promotion because in normal promotion, you're trying to convince them to get into the club and you're paying them to be there, or so you're charging them money to enter. We were actually just inviting them out to our own private party, which would be within the nightclub. And we would end up with, gosh, on some nights when Project Entourage was at full swing, we had in excess of 200 women come through the door with like 10 guys. It was nuts. And these girls just wanted to come out and house, and we were the life and soul of the party, the people that the women wanted to be with. And we even set up a website for it, projectentourage.com. And now the guys, my wings in London, are now taking over it, and now they're all running it there. And so that was how I came up with a lot of the original core methods of sort of like social circle game and how to build a social circle, an entourage game, and a whole bunch of different aspects,
Yeah,
which I know now a lot of my wings are using and teaching.
and you really, you go into depth into it in the course, and a lot of what I kind of the method I create is really about building your reputation, being the fun guy that people actively seek out and want to hang out with. Now, Amanda, didn't Adam meet you when he was doing all this stuff?
Yeah, that's how Adam and I met. I was a student living in London at the time. Me and like 15 other girls did like a summer abroad thing last year. And when I was living in London, we were just out at a random bar one night at one of like the nightclub hotspots in London. And one of his friends came up to us and he was like, "Hey, girls, we're out to the next one or whatever." And we were all excited. We're like, "All right, cool. Some locals from London are here. We wanted to hang out with them. We wanted to meet people and just hang out with people that we had met." So we did a number exchange. And the next day, they were like, "Hey, we're going to the same bars last night. You all should come again. Just meet us outside or something." So once again, me and 10 other girls rolled out. We went in, went to the club, met them outside. The guys seemed cool. They were fun. Went in with them and they just like showed us they showed us around London pretty much. Like we met a group of guys. They were cool, they were normal, they weren't creepy club promoter guys or douchebags or weird PUAs or anything. Met these guys, became good friends with them during the time that we were there. That's how Adam and I started hanging out. And yeah, I mean, that's how Adam and I met, so it was a good thing.
Yeah, and that's just proof positive that that type of stuff works, because I think you hit on something really important there. And Cameron, like you like to joke about this too, about how like some guys can really come off as creepy, when they either don't know how to act around girls or they're trying to do some of the community stuff that's taught out there and doing it very poorly. They just come off as like needy or like kind of creepy or whatever. And the great thing about the personality-based game is that it's really about attraction. A lot of people think about like attraction as like, oh, it's sexual attraction. It's about, getting a girl into bed. But that's a little bit later on down the line. Initial attraction is really about just getting people feeling good when they're around you, so that they want to be around you more, so that you attract them to you. They seek you out, and they want to be with you. I mean, I'm in a situation right now where I'm dating I'm always trying to like date around like three girls just because like. I'm busy and I'm still looking for like a girl I can really connect with. And I've got girls like constantly texting me and like emailing me, calling me up and stuff like that, wanting to hang out, and I just don't have time for them. This is what I like to call a quality problem, by the way. But it's just one of those things where when you have the personality, the looks don't matter so much, and you can really kind of get a sense of the attraction game. And that's I think one of the reasons why you and me hit it off so well, Adam, is because like we both just responded to each other's personalities.
Yeah, it was just like I said. I mean, for all the hate and everything that goes out in the community or what have you've never been anything but friendly and nice to me. Like, and that's how I judge people on who they are. Like, I'm not gonna,
And
be a
I'm a friendly and nice guy. I was friendly and nice to Ross. I was friendly and nice to Tyler. All that stuff. It wasn't until they proved that they were douches that I stopped being friendly and nice to them, because that's the type of guy I am. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. But more than that, I think when it comes to women, like there's this thing about like, oh, just be yourself. Like that's usually what women like to tell guys to do. It's like, hey, just be yourself, and you can get a girlfriend. And then they're like, well, I've been myself the entire time, and it hasn't worked yet. But most guys aren't themselves when they're around girls they like. They tend to shut down, they tend to become more introverted, shyer, or they ch tend to try and act like someone they're not. And at a certain point, when you run out of game, when you run out of routines to spit, all that's left is who you are. So, if you learn to put your best foot forward, when you learn to show people your best self first and foremost, that's something that sets the stage. You're consistent with it. Women who are attracted to that will still be attracted to you down the line. You don't have to worry about doing all this fancy footwork. And Cameron, you laughed about that, but you know it's true.
Which part are we talking about that laugh about?
Oh, was that you laughing or was that Adam?
I think it was Adam.
Okay,
I like
good.
laugh.
All right, Cameron thinks it's all bullshit, so he's just sitting back.
Yeah, but like I honestly think like we, oh yeah, sorry, go on, Karen.
No, I was just nothing. I was laughing up a mat, what Thundercat said. But anyway, no, I mean, it's kind of hard just like to do a show like this sometimes. It's like you got to figure out like it's like it's trying to balance and doing a show with like if it's entertainment or is it pickup advice or is it dating advice. It's kind of like hard to balance the threshold sometimes, walk the line.
So you know what's funny is like, okay, Barry Kirky, like his show's a comedy show.
It's just entertainment
yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah, he talks about game and you know it's whatever. This show, I don't even know what this show is yet. Okay,
we haven't figured out what the show is.
Yeah, I mean we've only done what this is like the sixth episode, something like
Right.
that. We've only done six episodes, and pretty much it's about me. I think I think that's what it's turning out to be is that it's about me. I don't know if it's a comedy show. I don't know if it's an advice show. Whatever. It's just about stuff that I like to talk about. And I'm talking about it with guys like you, Cam, and like you, Adam, and you, Amanda, who I like talking to. So,
Right.
you know, it's almost like, you know, people are listening into a private phone call that we're having.
It's like a
Yeah,
reality show. It's a radio
reality.
reality show for
That's what it's
Thundercats Life.
about, reality radio show.
Reality radio,
For Thundercats Life, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's because part of the confusion of some of
Thundercat.
the, yeah. I think it's a confusion of
Thundercat's your
listeners. They're
show.
expecting, they're not sure what to expect, and they're like confused as well. But anyway, back, not to throw this tangent out there, but what were you asking me?
I wasn't asking you. It just sounded like you know I was talking about all this personality stuff and you just you know I thought that you had something to say and you didn't. So
Oh no, I wasn't laughing. I was just listening.
you know what I like about like your game, Cam, is that you're such a funny guy. Like you know you do stand up comedy. You know you've done all this stuff. You do probably some of the best impersonations of people in the community I've ever seen. And like
Right.
how much does the humor part play into your game?
It's a huge part of it, actually. You know, it's what's one of the things I rely on quite a bit. To be honest, like it's one of those things. You know, I didn't develop that because I got into the community, actually. I learned other stuff, not to be, you know, approval seeking and not to be like needy and all this stuff. And but excuse me, guys. But like as far as laugh, making people laugh, and just kind of having a good time. I was at always like I was always good at that naturally for some reason. Like you know, even high school and stuff, I could make my friends laugh. And that wasn't an issue, so we were okay with that. But not just because I sort of developed the other parts of it. But yeah, to answer your question, it's a huge part of it because if I can go to talk to a girl, like, she might not be very interested, right? And she might give me some resistance. But once I make them laugh, it's like the breaking point because I know I got them. Like if they have a sincere, genuine, like good heart for laugh, I got them. And the key to that is not that I approach a girl as going, I'm going to make her laugh. I'm going to make her laugh. It's just more like, she sounds like Tyler for a second. Like a laugh, a laugh, a laugh, a laugh, a laugh, a laugh. No, I approach her because, you know, just I want to have a good time. I'm having fun. But in the process, part of my fun is entertaining. It's just my personality. I like to entertain. It's like a lot of guys, you see the guys who are entertaining personalities. Just like, that's just like, you know, for example, Barry's one of those guys. Do you like to entertain just for the hell of it? Because you like to have a fun, good time. I think, I get that feeling with like Gunwood sometimes in the radio or on the podcast. He likes to entertain, right? So there's other guys who like to entertain. There's different kinds of personalities involved. You know, not everybody has to be the same exact way, obviously. Like, right? Not everybody has to model themselves after me or anybody or you know, not exactly become Thundercat or Adam or whatever, right? But you can learn things from each one of us that you can incorporate into your personality or incorporate into your life. I don't know how they can teach personality in one day, but you can definitely take steps to develop personality.
Yeah, and the thing that you hit on, which I think is really important, is that I'm not trying to teach people how to act like Thundercat, okay? Because if I did, I don't think anyone would buy the course. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to show people how to take all the positive qualities about them, you know, everything that makes them like an awesome person, and put them out to the forefront first and foremost, so that people can see what you're about. And if they want to partake in that with you, they can. You know, a huge part of the course is about humor. You know, I interview guys who are like stand up, like they teach stand up comedy out here in Los Angeles. I interview lots of guys who are just naturally funny. I interview a lot of performers, and they kind of talk about their stage presence and how they develop it and stuff like that. Because a lot of initial attraction stuff, it is about being entertaining. It's about being cool. It's about being fun. If you can make a girl laugh, you can get her attracted to you. I mean, that's always been like one of the biggest rules in seduction is like, if you can appeal to a girl's hu good humor, she's going to be interested in you somewhere down the line. There's a lot of aspects that go with like the whole personality thing. And Amanda, I really want to get your take on this because, you know, you're the resident chick expert on the show. And I know we've had a talk in the past about how you think that looks are important, but you know, personality also plays a big role too. And one of the big complaints I've gotten from people on my email list for the pure personality thing is that they don't believe me when I say looks don't matter. They think that, oh, you know, it still matters, like, you know, like that you have the washboard abs and you still got to be like a hot guy. Otherwise, girls aren't going to give you the time of day. But, you know, we see exceptions to this rule all the time. So what do girls really think about the whole looks versus personality thing?
I mean, it does sound cliche, but looks only get you so far. In 20 years, the washboard abs are gone, the rippling muscles are gone, the hair isn't spiky and cool anymore. I mean, looks fade, but personality is what sticks. I mean, that's what it is. I mean,
weren't you telling me that girls don't like guys who are like really pretty?
Sometimes there's a thing between like pretty and too pretty. Like I know that. Okay, I've said this before. I'll say it again. For guys, if you get like a really pretty girl, it's called punching above your weight. But for girls, if you get a guy that's not maybe as hot as you, we call it dating down.
You know what I call it when a guy gets a girl way hotter than him?
Let's hear it.
Awesome.
Awesome. It is awesome. And punching above your weight. But I know so many girlfriends of mine personally who they date down in terms of looks. But the guys that they're dating, they might not be the hottest guys, the most gorgeous guys, but these are guys that are great guys. They're sweet. They come from good families. They're good guys themselves. They have a good social status. They're able to provide. And that is what girls look for. They don't just look for looks. If a guy's going to be a douchebag with his affliction shirt rolling up to a club, I mean, he's probably not going to get very far. But a guy that's genuine and real and is just a normal guy that can hold a conversation for longer than 3 minutes, I mean, that's the guy that's going to take note of.
And you know what's also interesting is that, you know, you mentioned a lot of stuff there, like, you know, social status and being able to provide and things like that. To me, personality is like the great equalizer. Like, you don't have to be rich, you don't have to be good looking or anything like that. I got a buddy of mine, his name's John, and John's like, you know, like he's the you know, he didn't used to be like this, but he's now pudgy, he's lazy, he has no ambitions in life, he just wants to sit around and drink beer all day. You know, but he is one of the most genuinely funny guys, like just like great to hang around with, you know, like fantastic guy. And he gets so many women simply because, you know, that's the type of person he is, even though like he's a, you know, he's one of my best friends in the whole wide world. So I don't want to call him a loser. But let's just say that, you know, like he's very unambitious. OK. And yet girls still enjoy hanging out with him and want to be with him and stuff like that, all based on the fact that he is a genuinely great guy. And when you can use your personality to compensate, I mean, you can use your personality to compensate for anything. You know, it doesn't matter age, bank account size, like whatever it is you have going against you, personality can help even that out. That's been my experience. What do you guys think about that?
I completely agree. It absolutely can.
Cameron?
About what, but the personality helps?
Yeah, about how like personality evens out everything that you have going against you.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know who to argue against, like, you know, having a better personality is bad. I'm not sure that, like, that's even an argument, you know, like.
Well, I think a lot of guys out there have this kind of image of attraction where they're like, oh, it's about, like, you know, okay, I got to have my hair spiked to exactly 2 inches, and I got to have, like, my shirt open down to, like, my navel, and I have to say, okay, this routine, and then, like, DHV into this, and blah, blah, blah. A lot of guys, like, their idea of attraction is based on that. But to me, and in my experience, attraction is always based on who you are. Like, you can run game on a girl, but if she's not liking who you are, you're not going to get anywhere. You can be the best-looking guy in the world, but if you have the personality of a paper bag, you know, that's, you know, the interest isn't going to last too long. You know, am I just talking out of my ass here? What do you guys think?
No, you're not. You're totally right on. Like, I've said it before, and I'm like, yeah, I'm a shallow person. I like guys that look good. So, like, when I first met Adam, he wasn't the best-looking guy, but I helped a little bit. I helped get him some better clothing, some better hair, and he started working out. And now Adam's a guy that I look at, and I'm like, yeah, I'm very physically attracted to him, and I tell him that all the time.
You know,
there's
a difference there in the sense that, you know, there's appearance and then there's looks, okay? Now, appearance you have complete control over, and you just said that Adam completely changed his appearance. But, you know, he's still Adam. Like, he still looks the exact same way he did since when you first met him. It's just that his appearance has changed.
Exactly. And in 20 years, the appearance is what's going to be gone. And he's going to probably go back to eating 12 Krispy Kreme donuts a week. But we're still going to be sitting on the couch playing Street Fighter and doing the dumb stuff that we do and having the great conversations. I'm going to absolutely love it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think people in that, I mean, just to get serious for a second, these guys, like, I don't know what the guys are thinking out there, but you have to separate like physical attraction from just the word attraction itself. Because when I talk about attraction, when I'm teaching to guys, I tell them, I'm talking about being interested, not physical attraction. Because you can just, all you really need to have to start with is to have a woman be interested in you. That's about it, man. And that could be for a variety of reasons. But if you have that interest, yeah, that's how it starts. And eventually the attraction will build over time. But you don't have to have instant physical attraction. Yeah, does that help? You know, it's like, I think what happens with guys who like reading or listening or whatever, watching stuff in the community, they hear the words that looks don't matter, and they get turned off by that because they feel like, well, they do matter. But I think it's how you present it. Like, you know, I don't know if you, I mean, you can edit this out if you want, if you don't agree with it. But like, people ask me that, and I wrote a newsletter about this. People say, do looks matter? And my answer, I have a tagline for it. I go, do looks make a difference? Yes, of course they do. But just because you're not good looking does not mean you cannot be successful. And just because you are good looking doesn't mean that you will be successful. And that's just the way I present it. You know, Mike was known by a sick boy, 007, in the book, The Game. That was his nickname. But he was like a male model. He was a really good looking dude. And he was, yeah, he had problems with chicks before he got to the community because he had a lot of things he was doing wrong. And so, yeah, just because you could be that good looking and still fuck it up. And you could be a guy who's not good looking and still be successful. It's just a matter of understanding what to implement and how to present your personality. That's the way I see it. You know, and I really believe in that.
Yeah, when I first met Sick Boy, I was like, what the fuck are you doing in this community? You know? I mean, like he seriously, he was like, he came from the modeling world and like fashion industry and stuff like that, and he had troubles with women. I mean, he didn't have trouble with like gay guys hitting on him all the time, but you know, it was when it came to girls, like it was almost like he was one of those guys who was too pretty almost. You know, cuz he was just like a really good-looking dude.
Yeah, I mean, and factor in, like, if you're a guy out there going to approach a girl, factor in, like, what you're going to be, like, you know, what you look like and stuff. And, yeah, you can still be successful. You just have to present yourself the way it works for you. Like, listen, I'm not going to bullshit anybody out there. If I'm in, if someplace and I – let's say let's talk about opening for something. That's the biggest sticking point for most guys. If I'm opening to some chick and she's, you know, and I'm dressed well and I open with, a complimentary opener, something that's very complimentary, something that's very positive and it's very kind of like, you know – talks him up a little bit and compliments him. I factor a lot. I factor in my looks. I factor in the way I dress. I factor in the way I carry myself. I factor in all that before I even like just go and say the compliment to her or just speak, you know, be a very positive complimentary towards her. Now, let's say the guy looks like he got the short end of the stick. Looks like Neil Strauss or something. You know, like, you know, seriously, I'm not even trying to be funny, but like, well, let's see, you know, but the thing is like, okay, fine. You can still open the girl and talk to her. Just do it a different way. You don't have to copy me. It's the whole thing of not having a system or a method that's crystallized and just like, you know, not having a method that's like a dogma that you have to do this every single time. You can find out what works for you, build around you. So you know, that's the whole thing. And yeah. So if you're good looking, if a guy's good looking, he's physically attractive, he'd be fucking crazy not to use his looks to his advantage. Right. And likely, some guys have better personalities, some guys has a better sense of humor, some guys, you know, you have different advantages, you know, put your best foot forward. That's what I think anyway.
Yeah, totally. All right, well, I don't want to harp on this too much longer. Basically, go to looksdontmatter.net. The course is coming out tomorrow. Get it, see for yourselves. It's going to be awesome. We got a lot of cool bonuses coming out for it. One of the things I'm really excited about are these things I'm calling practice sessions. First 100 people who sign up, they're actually going to get on these phone calls with us every month, where I have one of my very attractive lady friends come on the line, and guys can actually practice their personality skills on the girl, and I'll be there to critique them and get feedback from the girl and stuff like that. So I'm really, really excited about getting this stuff out there finally, because it's been a long journey for me to try to get this course out to the masses. So I'm hoping that it does well. And I'm hoping that a lot of guys get a lot from it. So that said, looksdontmatter.net tomorrow.
What are their intercourse skills? Can they practice that?
Oh, of course. Of course. But they have to do it on their own time.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you have a real program there. If you have some girl come on and go, hey, you can practice your the art of...
That's the Manifestus program right there.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, so 9 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, 12 o'clock noon Eastern time tomorrow, Saturday. That's when the course goes live. Go check it out. So we're going to talk about Ross Jeffries' devil worship thing real quick, and then we're going to get to news, and we're going to wrap things up. So did you guys see the devil videos?
Yeah.
Completely. They were like I was saying, they are the funniest things. Like it was just awesome to see him, like just to see him go against the crowd, to see him stand up against them.
That's always been his MO though. Like if you look at the Dr. Phil video, it's almost the same thing. Like he was doing stuff specifically to get rises out of the crowd. I thought he was a little bit more clever about doing it in these videos, where obviously he was being ironic, saying that he was a conservative who held the same values as Satanists, but I don't know. Like I enjoyed the videos because like I actually thought Ross came off pretty cool in the videos, to tell you the truth. Like he seemed like he was smart, he seemed like he was witty. Like
That was,
this.
you know, what was really getting me was when the Christians are like screaming at him and they're like, "Where's your proof that Satan exists?" And he goes, "Look at the audiences, proof positive." I was like screaming, I was screaming at my TV. It's in the Bible. Like, say it's in the Bible. Like, I was screaming that at the computer screen.
He did do a pretty good job of tooling the audience, though, I have to admit. Like he
Yeah,
did do a pretty good job of that.
he did well,
I
but
thought it
it's
was
just
pretty
amazing.
funny, man. I enjoyed it. I thought the whole I don't know. I'm not necessarily a fan of Ross, but we're on like cordial terms when I see him. But just from watching that video, I was like, dude, this is pretty funny. I thought it was, from a
Yeah.
comedic perspective, I thought it was brilliant. The whole conservatives for Satan was awesome. Great
It
angle. Telling them Jesus was a
was.
communist. I enjoyed the video a lot, actually, dude.
It was. It was pretty good. Like I think Ross needs to get out of seduction and go into politics because that seems to suit his personality a lot better than this stuff does.
And he likes attention, so that works.
He does. He does. I don't know if he likes black people though, so he might not be able to be for
Why do you
Obama.
say that, dude?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I know he likes black people. Apparently, like he likes the chocolate ladies from what I hear. That's his thing.
You're gonna get hate for that statement, right? Like after you didn't blank out the word Jew in the other episode, now you're gonna get severe hate.
What? Because Ross Jeffries likes black chicks?
For the comment that he doesn't, and then he does. And then,
Yeah, well, maybe.
you know,
I
they're
don't
gonna
know.
hate him anyway. Let's be real. Even if he didn't say anything, they're gonna hate him anyway.
Yeah.
You ever see that TV show, I Hate Chris? They should have one, I Hate Thundee. That should be the new name of the booty cast. I Hate Thundee.
I hate Thundee. Maybe when we start taking live calls on the air, we'll get some of those haters, get the haterade
Hello.
going.
Oh, that would be awesome, man. I would totally like to have some of those guys on some of the guys like read your blog and stuff. We should have
Yeah.
them on.
Yeah.
I want to hear what they have to say. Or have them at
I love
least
it.
email you.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have an open forum on my blog. Anyone can say anything they want as long as it's not too like threatening or racist or whatever. I mean, for the most part, like I like hearing people's opinions about stuff, even if it's bad opinions. I enjoy seeing it. Like the whole thing with Ross though, like I wish Ross was the same today as he was back in the early 80s when these videos were taken, because this is the Ross guy who got me believing in speed seduction. This was the guy, and I kind of missed that Ross. Like when I got to know Ross, it was obvious he was a douchebag, scam artist, like whatever. But it seems to me like back in the day, back when he looked like Screech, he was a little bit more of a genuine dude.
Yeah, I mean, what can I tell you, man? I mean, Ross is Ross. He's
Yeah.
an enigma.
Wrapped in a riddle.
Exactly. You
Yeah.
can't describe Ross. He's probably listening right now as we speak. You know that.
Yeah, probably. He's got his bugs in my
He's got your
place.
phone tapped right now. He's just listening, going, "What is Thundee saying? That damn bastard, that fat bastard." He's probably.
What is Thundercat saying about me today? Yeah, he's been pretty quiet lately, actually. He hasn't been like going around flaming people too much. I think he might have wisened up. I heard that he was at this internet marketing seminar called StomperNet a little while back. And the StomperNet guys are these search engine optimization guys. It's all about ranking websites higher in the search engines.
Right.
And they're good friends with David D'Angelo. And apparently, every time they mentioned David D'Angelo's name on stage, Ross would sit in the back of the room and hiss, be like, "Sss," like a fucking snake. But
I would
I
imagine a full like convulsion or a seizure
yeah.
was back then, an epileptic episode every time they hear David D'Angelo.
I was talking to a guy who was there, and he's like, "Yeah, like Ross Jeffries, he's supposed to be this seduction artist, but you know, at the end of the day, when everyone was at the bar, you know, like networking and stuff, he just sat alone in a booth, drinking his drink. So,
yeah, he was seducing his drink. Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool. But you know, it's, I don't know. The videos are pretty good. I actually, it's kind of funny. If you didn't know Ross at all, like if let's say you just completely neutral, he came to the community and had no idea about Ross, and you watch his videos, you actually like the guy a lot from those videos from the Wally George show.
Yeah. Because so, he did do a good job of tooling those guys who were just acting like idiots.
Yeah, he did.
It was funny. It was pretty funny. It was entertaining, and I was pretty impressed by your blog's readership's comments. Those, man, some of those guys are pretty smart. I don't know which guy it was, but he was talking about like this is completely off topic, but he was talking about like historical stuff and Prescott Bush. I'm like, man, you know, I've got some smart guys who know their stuff reading this blog. So if there's any positivity here, Thundercat. Yeah, some smart dudes reading your blog. They know their shit.
Well, there are a lot of smart dudes in the community. They just can't get laid. That's the problem with smart guys. They overthink stuff. It's always the dumb guys who get the chicks, you know, because they're just like, me have boner, me want sex. You know, that's true, about as much as they think.
That is a big problem. Guys over-intellectualize things. So, but, you know, there's a lot of smart guys in the community. So at least we're not amongst dumb people. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, not counting some of the instructors, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, but they're getting laid, you see. You see how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Those guys get laid, so they become instructors.
Yeah, we got boner.
All right, I'm playing the news music, which means it's time for the news with Amanda. What's going on in the world today, Amanda?
Well, I have some random stuff. This is going to be a random mix of news stuff today. Sorry, I just elbowed Adam in the face. So I was stalking. I was doing some stalking on I think, it was Playboy.com. Don't judge me. But apparently spanking is now considered the ultimate form of foreplay. Yeah, any thoughts on that? Hey, that's what Playboy told me. I'm not bashing
spanking
it. I'm just delivering.
Spanking is great. It's awesome. It should be encouraged at all schools across the country. I don't know. I think it's great.
I mean, Project Entourage days, I would systematically, to the song Smack That by Eminem and Akon, smack every single girl's bum. And consequently, pretty much every girl's bum who I spanked, I ended up sleeping with.
Yeah. Have you ever smacked a girl on the ass who had a bony ass and you fucking hurt your hand, Adam?
Yes! It's so painful!
I've done a couple of girls who had like no asses and I smacked them hard in the ass and hit the fucking like some kind of bone. I don't know if it's a tailbone or an ass bone. I'm not sure what bone that is. I fucking hurt my hand. Like, motherfucker! A fucking bony ass.
No, I mean, spanking's fun. Yeah, I can see that.
I guess there's a new rise of like movies coming. Or I don't know if they're coming out or if they're old. I don't really watch movies, but in a bunch of movies, spanking is being used also. So that's why this poll started.
Yeah, I wonder how soon sexual harassment people will be all over that, or like the abuse people. It's like, he assaulted me. It's like, no, I didn't. I spanked your ass. It's like, no, it was assault. You're going to jail, motherfucker.
Spanked you and you liked it.
Yeah, there was
I don't know what the law's like in America, but in England, assault and battery are two different crimes. Assault is if someone thinks they're going to get hit, and battery is if they get hit. So if you can smack her where she can't look at you, you can only get done for battery, and that's a lower offense.
Well, in America, you can get locked up for anything. And I know a guy who got sued for sexual harassment for touching a woman's elbow.
Wow,
that's a new one.
Yeah, so you got to watch your ass here in America.
Wow.
But yeah, you know, when I first got into the community, I forget who I was talking to. There was some guy who was telling me about how he spanks women, and he'd be teasing them about like being a bad girl, and she's like, "Oh, what are you gonna spank me or something?" He's like, "No, I only spank you if you're a good girl." It's like that really creepy hypno voice, you know, the way he says it. I could totally see spanking as being like a big foreplay thing. I don't know, Amanda, do girls enjoy being spanked?
I've never been like seriously spanked, like in a, I don't know if there's a serious way to spank. I don't know, I mess around, like I'll slap his ass every once in a while, but like I've never gotten like a serious, you're being naughty, I'm bending you over, spanking kind of spank.
Okay, Thundercat, especially for the listeners right now. Ready, Amanda?
Let's hear it. I'll let you know.
Ready?
Live on radio.
Live on radio, Amanda's first spank.
Oh, I didn't like that.
All Okay, that was
maybe
in, cel- in celebration.
So it's official. A random spank in the middle of a radio show, not good.
But maybe add arousal into that and it would be better. I don't know. We'll let you know. We'll give you an update.
You know, like, is there a difference between spanking and slapping ass? Because, like, when I have sex with girls, I do, like, occasionally, like, slap the ass. Is there a difference there?
I think that that's a spank. Yeah. I think an ass, yeah.
Cameron, you ever do that?
Yeah, that's part of spanking, man. What are you talking about?
I wasn't sure if there was a, like, Eiffel Tower, London Bridge type difference there.
No,
we went to this
sex.
And they had these mannequins that you could practice spanking on.
Have you ever seen those live dolls? Do you know what
I'm
talking
about?
Yeah, yeah. Those things are creepy, man.
The real life. They made a movie. Have you seen that?
No.
Lars and the Real Girl. It's a movie about a guy that falls in love with a live doll that he purchases on the internet.
Oh, my God.
What's the live? Is like a blow-up?
It is.
What's a live
doll? No. They look like humans. It's
yeah,
made
a,
out of
a,
like...
A live doll is basically a mannequin that looks real.
Oh.
Like they have like real feeling
like
skin.
Girl.com or something. Check it out now, and you will freak the f out.
Okay.
They had a booth when I was up in Vegas for AVN, and you know it's creepy. You know, it's almost like you're with a cadaver. You know, like a dead person. I mean, it's really bizarre.
This was the porno awards.
Yeah.
And the scary thing about that is the live dolls are probably more interesting than fucking porn chicks.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, I mean to talk with.
No, I've had some pretty interesting conversations with porn girls.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
About what?
About all types of stuff, man.
Blowjob techniques? What are you talking about?
Just about their lives, you know? I mean, like, a lot of them have, like, these really messed up lives, but it's very interesting to, like, hear them talk about it.
Oh,
you get some of the porno girls are actually like really smart, like they're college educated and stuff like that, and they just choose to do porn stuff. I had a talk with one girl who was in porn one time, and she actually had a law degree. You know, I mean, it was just completely bizarre.
Yeah, there's every once in a while, it's the 80-20 rule again. I think 80% of them are just dumb. You know what? 80% of the time, I think they have better luck, like, you know, dating a fucking live doll. You have a better conversation out of it. And she shuts up when she has to, you know? No, I don't know. She's still being a dick. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the dumb chicks, you know? And the porn industry. I don't know, but this fascinates me. You guys went to the... we got back on the same subject again with the whole porn karaoke. But what did you guys think of it? You never told me your feedback.
Porn star karaoke, it's interesting. I've never been to any place like that or an... I mean,
it's
different.
It's normal karaoke with girls
with
boobs.
Girls that happen to, and they give out prizes.
Like, Amanda got given a lesbian DVD by the woman that was appeared in it.
And the woman was handed me a DVD of herself, and I looked at her in the face, and then I looked down at the DVD, and she was naked on it. She offered to
nice.
Sign it for me. I mean, they're very nice. She winked at me a couple times from across the room, but they were
charitable.
Sweet. Everyone was really sweet.
Okay, they're all sweet in that. Come on, guys. Give me the dirt. What do you guys really think about it? You're not telling me what you really thought about it. I know this for a fact. I know this for a fact that you're holding back on me. I can tell.
I'm a little more reserved, a little more I keep to myself.
Cam, I told you, she keeps to herself, right? As soon as the radio goes off, she'll go, oh my God, it was so weird. I totally got freaked out. That lesbian porn woman was like winking at me. I don't know if she wanted me to get a career in porn or if she just wanted to lick me out. That's what Amanda was thinking.
I would never say that.
But she would never say that.
Yeah, you know what? What you got to do is like, you have to do a show one time where like we get like three or four cocktails in you guys, especially Amanda. Four cocktails. I don't know what her alcohol tolerance levels, but maybe four. I think four cocktails would do it. And then we get the real Amanda's thoughts.
She'd probably be asleep by four cocktails.
Yeah, that'd put me out.
Two beers.
I'm a beer girl.
Amanda's a beer girl. Two beers and her tongue starts.
I
two beers, that's all. And we'll buy you two beers. That's fine.
Yeah. We got to be more honest on the show. Got to be more honest. All right, Amanda. What else is in the news? Amanda.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys know this, but Adam is a regular columnist for AskMen.com. So I visit that website frequently. I edit some stuff that goes up there. Adam writes for them. It's a good website. It's a good resource for men to just like if you want to kill time throughout the day. And I was reading this thing on Ask Men where perfect 10 models are preferred to Playboy models. And I thought that was interesting because Playboy just has a lot more, they're probably more well-known, probably more mainstream than Perfect 10 is. But in like a survey that they did, men tend to like the Perfect 10 models more.
I've never seen Perfect 10, so I wouldn't know.
Perfect 10, they're all natural, no fakeness. Boobs are theirs, their hair's theirs. They're natural girls instead of like the done up boob job lip injection.
You know, there was a while back where Playboy had a very strict no fake boobs policy. I think this was back in like the 70s or something.
It would be a while back, yeah.
Also, they say Playboy has too many ads. Perfect 10, you can open it and get right to the good stuff. Whereas Playboy, you have to like dig through to get the pictures.
Yeah, there aren't a whole lot of naughty pictures in Playboy. Like, it's
they have a ton of articles. Yeah.
Yeah, like they're trying to be like a legitimate magazine, even though they still have like that porn connotation to them.
Yeah, they have the ton of commercial stuff, a bunch of articles, a lot of
You know why that is? It's a chick who runs that magazine. You know, it's Hugh Hefner's daughter. When Hugh was running the magazine, it was all about the girls, man. It was all about the girls.
Now they're trying to make it a little more classy.
Yeah, they have been for like since what, 95, something like that.
And they get a lot more celebrities in there, some more high profile people. They've done like Olympic editions of all like Olympic athletes. And
I read Playboy for the articles.
You can't even jerk off to Playboy anymore. It's really weird. Like, you really care when you're a teenager, it's like all excited about it because you see like some. They don't even show like the pussy. They just show like the frontal bush. But which was enough. Even if 14 years old, that's all you really need, right? But then now, like, you look at it, you go, ah.
It's boring.
You're gonna get a hard time looking at Playboy, man. like this. But the articles are great. I concede.
Yeah. You know, Ross Jeffries got to start by advertising in Playboy.
Really?
Yeah. The first speed seduction course, he basically had like a little classified ad in the back of Playboy. I don't know if he still does it or not, but he used to. That was how he started his business back before the internet.
That's smart, though. It's a good place to go.
Well, yeah, that's a good source, I'm sure. Yeah.
Horny, frustrated, can't get chick? Speed seduction's for you. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Worship the devil? Speed seduction's for you.
Speed seduction.
Ross does have like a lot of weird like pagan kind of like stuff that he's into.
Pagan, so, that's a good word.
Yeah. Ebon pagan.
I haven't heard that since my Christian high school days.
All right, what else is in the news, Amanda?
I just have a random fact for now. Which forum do you guys think is the biggest PUA forum out there?
Which forum?
Yeah, which one most members?
I would have to guess So Suave, the Don Juan
forum. Oh, it's Fast Seduction.
Fast Seduction. Most people think it's Fast Seduction. I haven't pulled up the numbers for So Suave, but I think Adam's going to Google it right now. But I think as of now, the biggest one is the Pickup Artist Forum, and it has over 46,000 registered users.
Oh, that's nothing.
Barty, so how many does SoSwap have?
I don't know about SoSwap, but I know like Fast Seduction has like way more than that.
Massive only has 38,000.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I looked it up. I just think it's interesting. And most of the people that it's actually www.pick-up-artist-forum.com. Most people actually from like the Pickup Artist show are the ones that are finding this one. So I think that has a huge rise in why it's bigger and why it's growing. So if you actually Google like Pickup Artist Forum or whatever, that's the first one that comes up. And yeah, it definitely is more than Fast.
Okay, so the So Suave Forum is currently down. there's no way of finding out how many members they are. But yeah, I always thought Fast Seduction was better. But when Amanda was like, "Hey, did you know this?" Yeah, there's MASF's only got 38,000, whereas the Pickup Artist Forum is 46,191, right?
Yeah.
I'm just reading that.
Massive might have more visitors to it, but in terms of registered users, the Pickup Artist Forum.
But yeah, and it grew because of the TV show. So with the second series coming out, it's probably going to get even bigger.
That's interesting. You know who I want to get on the show is Joe D. I'm going to get Joe D on, talk about the Pickup
Artist. Why do you like Joe D more than Cosmo?
You know, Cosmo just rubbed me the wrong way.
Really?
Like when I met them in person.
Okay.
Like Cosmo was kind of a, I don't know, like I got a bad vibe from him, but Joe's such an awesome guy, you know? Plus we fatties got to stick together, you know what I'm saying?
He's got pure personality.
Yeah, he's got the pure personality, baby. I've run into Joe a few times, and he's always been nothing but like just an awesome guy. So I really like Joe, and plus I don't think I can find Cosmo's number to call him up and get him on the show.
Don Diego was telling us a story about how Joe D got kicked out of Disneyland, was it?
Oh, really?
Yeah, somehow he was, I don't know, I guess he was like doing some day game approaches. I think he was gaming. And
In
maybe
Disneyland.
filming it, I'm not sure. And they just kicked him out, like straight up security from Disneyland came and said, "You gotta go."
Like, I'm not doing
That's
anything
funny.
wrong. I'm just picking up chips.
At least he didn't get arrested. Yeah.
Yeah, in
Yeah.
London.
London, they'll just arrest your ass. Disney World, they'll kick you out.
Yeah, good old America, you know? They give you the benefit of the doubt.
No, in London, they're still doing time for that. You get like 15 years for picking up chicks.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah,
but
I'm
no
not.
chi no chicks in the slammer.
Yeah.
Adam and I haven't met any of the VH1 guys in person or anything, but I mean, I'm MySpace friends
We
with almost all
spoke
of them.
to J-Dog.
Well, yeah, J Dog, but he was an instructor.
Yeah, but we
Yeah,
spoke to him at
J Dog's
post.
no longer with the show anyway.
Yeah, he's not.
Unfortunately.
Fortunately, ooh.
I heard about a little bit of fallout about our podcast about Matador that we did with Sin.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Matador is just a little ticked off.
About you? You had Sin.
I don't know. Like the rumors I heard weren't very specific. They just said
I've heard rumors and I know who they're ticked off about, and it's Sin.
do share. Yeah.
It's Sin, yeah. I mean, he probably hates you as well, but apparently Sin's got it coming to
Uh-oh. Look out, Sin.
Yeah,
He's
I
gonna
don't
have
think
to
so.
go to Vince Kelvin and hire his bodyguards or something.
I don't think Sin's worried. He's sort of like, living up life in Texas, and the kind of people that Sin, hangs around with, I think he's fine.
It's Kel's got bodyguards that are more scrawny than he is.
Yeah.
What?
And
I've
shorter.
seen him like, well, what's? No, seriously, just observation, but it's just weird.
I love that he has bodyguards, though. That's awesome. My bodyguard's Amanda. I've got one of those like female bodyguards. You see in the science fiction movies where the guy's got like this female cyborg for a fighter protector woman. That's what I've got. Amanda's like a top martial artist.
I wouldn't
She's
want
like
to fuck
that.
with Amanda.
Yeah, she's like that Oriental chick from Sin City. People don't even know. She just like whips out her katana, and people don't even know
Well,
where she hides.
she's Puerto Rican, for God's sakes.
I'll kick
They'll
your
take
ass.
care of
Actually,
you. They'll
her dad, Amanda's dad.
knife you,
No,
know,
it's
if you're not
true.
careful.
Amanda's dad's nickname, I found this out like quite recently when he was growing up, was the Puerto Rican Slasher. Her dad's nickname.
I have a feeling Adam made that up for some
No, your dad told
reason.
me.
I have never heard that
Maybe your dad
before.
was trying to scare me.
I hope
It
so.
worked.
It worked.
right, anything else in the news, Amanda?
Last one, just stories from a forum. Last week we had the Bukkake story. One forum was posting stuff about Bukkakes. I
They were
got another.
selling tickets to a Bukkake session, weren't they?
Yeah,
Yeah, they were $10 ahead.
10 bucks ahead for 50 guys for a Bukkake. Unreal. Well, this week I found an interesting story in one of the forums. Adam always has this thing where he's like, if you ever see a girl on her own at a nightclub, just or at a bar or anywhere, just leave her alone. Because girls, they don't tend to travel on their own. Girls
Basically,
are always in pairs.
don't think they're an easy target. A lot of people see a one set girl on their own and they think it's an easy target.
Yeah, like, oh, she doesn't even have a friend I need to deal with. I'll just go in for that one chick and go after her. Adam just has this theory. If it's a girl on her own, just leave her alone. So I was reading this one story in the forum where this dude was out and he was at a bar and a girl walked by him. So he lightly grabbed her hand. She was alone. They started talking. He was like, I was doing really well. I mean, I thought my game was on. I was sexually escalating so great, but she wouldn't kiss me in the club. She was really wanted to just go home with me and just let me have it. So this guy was all excited. He's like, yeah, I'm finally gonna get my, my same night lay. Jumps in a cab with this girl. The end of the road, when he has to pay the cab guy, all he had was his credit card on him. So then he tried to pay the cab with the credit card. The cab was like, oh, sorry, I don't take card. So then the woman looked over him and says, "Well, how do you expect to me if all, how do you expect to pay me if all you have is a credit card?" So he had successfully gamed a hooker.
I'm telling you, if you see a single hot chick in a bar, 9 times out of 10, she's a
Yeah,
hooker.
fail. I mean, No wonder why she was so adamant of
And
going
he's
right
like,
back to your place.
he goes, he, in the thing, he's like, I thought my game was
Yeah,
on.
he's like, I thought my pick was tight. I thought I was. We had a good laugh over this one. So there you
Oh
go.
my
Girl's on
goodness.
her own at a bar. She's either been stood up, which means she's probably a loser. She has no friends, which is someone you don't want to be friends with anyway, or she's a whore. One
Okay.
of the three. That's it.
You know, she was probably dropping signals that he wasn't picking up on either.
I'm sure she was, but a Pua that's out
Yeah,
there to
Pua's aren't
gain.
trained in reading that.
Yeah.
Like, he was just spitting lines.
He was like, good, I have your attraction down. Now it's time to move on to comfort. I mean, that's Apu's thing.
I wonder if he actually went to an ATM to close the deal.
Yeah, he said
Well,
he ran.
yeah,
The
the end of
claims
the
were,
report,
I
he ran.
ran.
Yeah, right.
To the ATM.
He ran to the ATM, yeah.
Pay the cab driver and the hooker.
Yeah. Oh, that'd
There
be
you go. That's
funny.
my news for the day.
Alrighty. All right, everyone. This is Thundercat. Just remember that Pure Personality coming out tomorrow. Go to looksdontmatter.net. Check it out. Adam, where can they find out more about you?
You can check out more about the boot camps at pwaytraining.com, or later on today, I'm going to be at Texas to Brazil.
Cameron, where can they find out more about you?
Trackwomenanywhere.com.
All right, guys, check out Cam, check out AFC Adam, and check out looksdontmatter.net. This is Thundercat coming at you from the Booty Cast, and we'll catch you next week.